desire and interest in your prayers this morning. Written on the board, the title, little message this morning, and I have written Finding Our Way. This is a continuation of a little series that I've been inspired to bring. We're trying to find our way home by the grace of God. And this morning I've written Finding Our Way, Faith versus Feelings. Faith versus Feelings. Last Sunday we spoke on the subject of finding our way absent personal convictions. Those where we face times that maybe we don't yet have established personal convictions in a particular area of life, or maybe our understanding in a particular area of life is not yet mature, and yet life goes on and we have decisions to make in real time, and we want to make decisions that get us safely home, that help us find our way. We reviewed some guiding principles associated with that. I don't intend this morning to go back over some of those principles that we talked about that are good to follow, safe principles to follow when maybe we don't yet have established personal convictions. But we also spent a little bit of time on an overarching vision and objective that followers of Christ adopt. And I would like to revisit that this morning. Maybe write it on the board as we move forward with this message today. Jesus helped set the stage. He helped us understand what our objective should be in life. And He outlined the start of that in the 6th chapter of Matthew. I think in the 33rd verse, He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." So I'd like to just quickly write down, and Lord, help us as Christians, as followers of Christ, to internalize this vision, this objective, as we make decisions in life. So, vision, objective: seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm going to abbreviate. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that, this is important, in a way that results in three things. And I know that we could write a vision and objective and tactics in many different ways. But I believe that this will suffice for the message this morning. That we seek first, above all else, the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that results in knowing and reflecting Christ. And two, that we make heaven. And three, that we help others make heaven. I don't know if you can read that or not. You know that sometimes we can say, yes, I believe it's important to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's Bible. I believe that. But then it's important for us to understand and to examine our lives to see if we are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that results in us having a relationship, in a way that results in us knowing and reflecting Jesus Christ to the world. Am I seeking it first in a way that the Word of God is being written on the tables of my heart? That it is becoming who I am by the help of the Holy Spirit? In a way that I know Jesus, in a way that when others look at my life, they see Jesus. And that it's not for just a little bit of time, but that I have so adopted this in my life that I'll carry it all the way through life, no matter what, so that at the end I can hear those words, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord," and that I make heaven. And that in the meantime, that I accept and I take on and I say, "Lord, here am I, send me, I'll go, I'll, the Great Commission, Lord, I'm signing up for it, that I can help others make it to heaven too." A vision, an objective for life. And this will answer so many questions when we say, well, should I turn right or left? Should I go straight? Should I hold up? Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I live this way? This has practical application in our life. Go back to the vision. Go back to our objective. Is what I'm doing, does it help me know Jesus better or does it hinder me? Is it reflecting Christ? Is it reflect the Word of God to the world that is looking on? Is it helping me get to where it is that I'm trying to go? Those that are looking at my life and perhaps are patterning their life after mine because I'm saying I'm a child of God and they're doing their best to make heaven their home. Am I living in such a way that they can follow my example? This will answer so many questions. So this morning, if we could hold this thought and carry it with us as we go ahead with this message this morning, I'm inspired to speak on the importance of living by faith versus feelings. Living by faith versus feelings, because when life brings us to those decision points where maybe we don't have established personal convictions, and maybe we come to decision points where I don't have full understanding and a decision has to be made, if we're not really careful, what can happen is that we can make decisions and we can make choices according to what our emotions dictate. Now, we can be led by the leadings of our feelings and external influences in the absence of having strong personal convictions, in the absence of having full understanding. Then when we come to these places where we have to make a choice, if we're not careful, because we're human, we can choose to make decisions and be led by our feelings and our emotions. So what does the word emotion mean? So as we do sometimes, I looked up so I could have some formalized definition to read. Oxford says that emotion, or emotionally, says it's characterized by intense or strong feelings. Emotion can be characterized by intense or strong feelings. Well, what are feelings? So you flip over to Oxford Dictionary and look up feelings. Feelings can be beliefs, but sometimes vague and or irrational. Sometimes Your feelings can be beliefs, but they're vague. You're not exactly sure why you feel that way. And sometimes they're irrational. They're not based on sound rationale. Maybe they're not based solidly, grounded in reality and truth. Feelings can represent an opinion, a sensation, sensitivity. Again, may not represent the whole of reality or truth, but a piece or a part. And sometimes, your feelings and emotions are based on something that has nothing to do with reality at all, except for the fact that you have feelings that are a response to some stimuli that you see. There's nothing wrong with feelings and emotions, per se. I'm glad that we have feelings and emotions, don't you? I'm glad that I know what love feels like. I'm glad that we have joy. I'm glad that there are so many feelings that we experience in life that God created in us that we might experience the fullness of life. Feelings. Think about what life would be like without feelings and without emotion. And so this morning's message is not at all to diminish or take away from what can be so wonderful about feelings and emotion. But the message this morning does deal with the fact that it's important to understand feelings and emotions for what they are and what they are not, and that they are handled and managed wisely. I don't know about you, but if I would have followed my feelings and my emotions just on the face of it, I probably would have walked away from my work and my occupation many times. If I just responded by how I felt, I'd probably say, okay, this isn't for me, I think I'm done. If I just followed my feelings and emotions, I would have turned away from a lot of good people. If I would just follow what I feel like doing, influences that come my way, fleshly desires that are rooted in feeling and emotion, probably would have involved myself in things that I had no business involving myself in. And on the other side of that, I probably wouldn't have involved myself with many things that I have every responsibility to involve myself with. Feelings and emotions. There are a lot of examples that we could give on how feelings and emotions, if not managed carefully, can lead us in the wrong direction. And I know that we all know that this morning, but I'd like to just maybe list a few to work our mind a little bit. I'm not a pilot. Don't have a pilot's license, haven't spent a lot of time on it. But I've read that one of the things that pilots are taught is trust your gauges. Trust your instruments. In other words, before you get up and you fly, of course, make sure those instruments are calibrated, check them, make sure they work when you're on the ground. But once you get up in the air, trust your instruments. You know why? Because when you get up in the air and you get off the ground, you can become disoriented. And sometimes you might think that you are flying upright when you're flying upside down or sideways. But you can be convinced that you're flying like you're supposed to be flying in relation to the ground. And there have been many a pilot, I say many, you can read a lot of accounts of people that have flown planes that became fearful that their gauges weren't telling them the truth. And so they began to go off their feelings and they went off of their emotions and they did what they thought was right based on their feelings, disregarded their gauges, and they lost their life. Think spiritually with me. If we're not careful, sometimes we can think we're flying just like we're supposed to be flying. But if we get our eyes off of the standard, we start allowing our vision and objective in life to be outside of truth, we might be headed to a disaster. And think that all is well if we just go by how our flesh is drawing us and taking us. This past week, a young 17-year-old expectant mother, maybe you saw that in the news, lost her life because of road rage in Tangipahoa Parish. She's not here anymore. She was here last week, alive. Today, she's in eternity. They saved her baby. Because of some feelings and emotions that caused somebody to think that the thing to do at that moment was to shoot a gun at another car. And that sense of justice that was errant created a life-changing effect by giving oneself over to a rush of emotion and feeling. And a life we can... There are times, you say, well, I'm not given to road rage. I hope we're not. But there are times in life that we can face situations where if we're not very careful, we can make decisions that change our lives for the rest of our life. We just go by our feelings and our emotions. We think about Solomon and David and Samson. Perhaps it wasn't just an immediate decision, but somewhere along the line, they allowed themselves to be given over to being led by their feelings and their emotions rather than an objective of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that resulted in them being connected personally with the Lord, and it got them in trouble. I think about the disciples that walked away from Jesus. They heard something that sounded difficult to them. And so their emotions were like, that's a hard saying. I don't know how we're going to do that. And so they turned and they made a decision to walk with Him no more. And we may say, well, I'm not a pilot. I'm not going to shoot somebody because of road rage, and I'm not a king or a judge. And I wasn't one of the disciples back in Jesus' time. But I want to say to us all in the fear of the Lord this morning that we live life and make decisions that have the capacity to change our lives for the rest of our lives. For the good or for the not so good. We make decisions on what we're going to allow in our home and what we're not going to allow in our home. We make decisions on what we are going to be identified by and what we're not going to be identified by. We make decisions on what we're going to look at and what we're not going to look at, what we're going to listen to and what we're not going to listen to, what we're going to create space for and time for, what things we're not going to create space and time for in our lives. And we can look at things and situations and say, well, I don't think that's necessary. And I think that it's fine to do this. And we can go that way and perhaps there's not an immediate perceptible consequence like some of the things we just mentioned. And yet they can begin to work. They can begin to decay our spiritual life. We can begin to lose oil out of our lives where one day the Lord calls our name and we find that we're empty of oil. We can hear truth be presented and turn away from truth because it wasn't presented in a godly way. Did you catch what I just said? We can hear truth. And if we allow ourselves to be led by feeling and emotion, we can turn away from truth because we know somebody that we believe is representative of the church that presented truth in an ungodly way. And so because we don't like the way that somebody presented what was right, we turn away from what was right. You follow what I'm saying? God help us not to do that. That is a trick of the enemy to get us to turn away from truth because somebody presented it in a way that was distasteful. Truth didn't say that presenting it distastefully was truth and right. And yet we can connect the two together and be led by our feelings and by our emotions and get ourselves into a difficult place. And it brings us to a question this morning. Do you desire in your life that this be your vision and objective? Is this your vision and objective in life? You don't have to answer me, but I encourage you this morning to spend some time thinking about this for your own life. Here as we sit this morning. Does this represent your vision? And the question is not, do you believe that we should seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? It's not the question. The question is, do you believe that seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is so right for you and your life that it results in you giving your life to this way? If it is, if this is what you're willing to embrace, and I hope it is, also know that this will lead and cause us to make decisions in life that will go against, run counter to what your feelings and emotions might dictate. And it's the reason why, as we live life, and young people, young marrieds, we have some missing in revival this morning. You're coming to that place in life where more and more of the decisions that you make that are going to affect the whole rest of your life are falling on your shoulders. And you're going to have to live with the consequences that come from that. And my desire this morning, not just for young people and young marriages, but for all of us, is that we could have a spiritual decision-making framework by which to make decisions by. And that this vision and objective in our life would become the foundation by which we make decisions. And not just give ourselves over to following after what looks right, what feels right, what appeals to, to my flesh, and now I can make decisions on my own, however I want to make decisions. I want to make good decisions. And this brings us to the point of where character and conviction come in. I want faith-based truths this morning to so influence my values and my beliefs, which then will influence my thoughts and my actions, that allows me to see beyond and live beyond just how I feel. People say, well, it's my life. It's my feeling. It's my heart. I'm gonna live by my heart. I'm gonna live how I want to live. You can live how you want to live. Your heart, you can live according to your heart, whatever that means to you. But know this, that there's also consequences that come with the decisions that we make, and you're going to have to live by those too. And I want to live where, as I said a moment ago, that faith-based truths that I read in the Word of God, so influence and inform my values and beliefs that it affects my thoughts, how I think, how I evaluate, how I make decisions, so that my actions are consistent with that, because actions have consequences. And all you have to do is look in life and find that the consequences that are associated with those that just live according to how they feel and what their emotions are, and this is what I want to do, and this is what seems right to me. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, the Scripture says, but the end thereof are the ways of death, because often it's not grounded in truth. And so the consequences of living that way, and all you have to do is look out around you, and you find that the consequences, not just in the life after, but in this life, are very different than the consequences that are associated with living a life that is grounded in truths, where you've given yourself, where this becomes your vision and objective in life, not just in theory, but in practice. I want to live this way because I find that the consequences are good in this life. I want a strong foundation, don't you? Where does a strong foundation come from in this life? It's not an emotionally based foundation. It is a faith-based foundation. And where does our faith come from? The Scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's a godly faith. It is a faith that is grounded in seeking, giving time and space. Lord, how would you have me live my life? Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Lord, when I don't feel like it, Lord, I want to keep pushing forward. Lord, when I'm uncertain, help me, Lord, to go back to the Word of the Lord and say, what doth the Word of the Lord say? Lord, help me to seek Your Holy Spirit that is spoken of in the 14th chapter of John. And Jesus said that He would send us the Comforter, which would teach us and lead us and be a guide unto us and help us understand truths that we otherwise wouldn't understand. Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, if we don't give ourselves to understanding what the Word of the Lord says and embrace it as truth outside of what our feelings and our emotions might be, then we're going to get ourselves in trouble. Yes, it will lead you down a different path than most people take. That's okay. It's okay to be in the minority. It's okay to be different. It's to be expected that if you live with this as your primary objective in life, that you are going to feel, because we're human, but we're also going to hear with our ears and sense that, are we missing out on all these things that are available to us? And people may say, why do you live your life like that? Why don't you do this? Or why don't you go here? Or why is it always so important that you have to do this? And they say, you're missing out. I say, you're right. I am. I'm missing out on a whole lot of consequences that go along with that other that I don't want to have anything to do with. Thank the Lord that we don't have to go that way. I'd like to close this morning and read a passage that we've been reading off and on over the last few months. Whosoever cometh to me, this is Luke 6:47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Whosoever cometh to me with their heart, and they hear my sayings, they hear the word of the Lord, they internalize it, they do it. They seek first. They don't just believe that this is right, but they actually seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that causes them to dig deep and allow your life to be grounded on a foundation of Jesus Christ, where this becomes your life. Where you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, where He goes with you daily, and you're able to reflect life and light to the world, not just to church, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and it becomes who you are. And you say, well, I don't know, preacher, this just seems like you're taking this a little bit too far. There's not going to be a person, not one person, that gets to the end of the way, that makes this their vision and their objective in life and gives their lives to seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not one person that is going to get to the end of the way and say, oh, well, I knew I probably didn't need to take it that seriously. You know, I probably could have got by with doing a few other things. And I think maybe I just took it too far. Not a person. He that cometh puts themselves in a position to hear the word of the Lord. You've got to put yourself in a position to hear the word of the Lord. And it's not just here. Yes, this is important. Scripture teaches us to come to church. Forsake not the assembling themselves together. But it's creating time and making time and space on the little bit of plate that you have of life to allow the Lord to speak to your heart. To get quiet before the Lord. Lord, help me to be able to get a verse. It's not about, okay, I need to read a chapter today and a chapter tomorrow. And I got that done. Whew, I didn't really get anything out of it. But tomorrow I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to read the Bible. So I got my chapters read this morning. And okay, and all the while we're completely missing out that what Jesus wants is a relationship with us.
You want something more than a checklist. He wants a relationship where you dig deep to get to know Jesus, to buy in, to be all into this. He's like a man which built an house that did this and dig deep and laid his foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream, it beat vehemently upon that house. We live life. All of us live life. You say, well, what is the stream? What is the flood? What is that talking about? It's life. It's the influences of life that we face when we go to work, when we get up, when we go to school, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we go, oh, Lord, help me. And it's the temptations that draw on us, and they beat on us and bid us come, and bid us change course, bid us make lifestyle changes. Here, you don't need to do that. Just come over here and go, yeah, I think that's right. I think I'll just try that for a while. Wait. That's the stream that's beaten on our house vehemently. But thank the Lord this morning that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, if this is what we're about, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And when the stream did beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, because it was founded on a rock. That's where I want to be. That's what I want the testimony of my life to be. But alternatively, he that heareth and doeth not might conceptually agree this is right. This is where I want to eventually get to. But he that heareth and doeth not, didn't do the seeking part, didn't do it in a way that results in having a relationship and reflecting Christ each day and being part of the kingdom of God is more important than anything else in life, and I'm not going to let anything else get in the middle of it. He that heareth and doeth not, miss these key points in a way that and seek. He is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently. It says immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. That doesn't have to be the testimony of our lives, thank the Lord. We can do this, and we can stand. And to all of us this morning, Lord, help us to be aware of, to look for, to expect the flood to come our way, because none of us are exempt from it. The flood of feelings and emotions that cry out for us to change to a way that is outside of the word of the Lord. This morning, purpose to hold up. Hold up. Whoa. Be still. Because wisdom is crying out too. Wisdom crieth out into the streets. Make your decision based upon seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Focus making decisions in your life. Maybe they don't always go according to your feelings and emotions. Live your life so that you can get to know Jesus, reflect into the world. Live a consistent life all the way through, no matter what, so that you get to the end of the way and hear those words, well done, well done, enter thou into the joy of the Lord by the grace of God. And then we can do something to help the lost that are around us. And I want to close, not with another verse, but with this.
Living by faith allows us to experience peace in the midst of the storm. I don't have to feel good to know that God is working for good in my life. And there is peace that comes with that knowledge. I want to say that again. Since we all have emotions and we all have feelings, and emotions and feelings are not bad. I have lots of them. And you do too. I don't have to feel good about a lot of things in life to know that the Lord is working for good in my life as a Christian. And there's peace that comes with that. That is the peace in the midst of the storm. That is the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith? When I come back, will I find a people that see and live beyond the influences, feelings, emotions that draw on the flesh? Will I come back and still find a people that are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that I want to be part of that number? That is where life is found. Amen.